You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
CRISPR is a gene editing technology that is revolutionising science at an incredibly fast pace. Some of its most exciting applications is its ability to tweak genes of eggs, sperm or embryos to alter human life, cosmetically or more importantly to eradicate disease-causing genetic mutations that parents can pass on, such as cystic fibrosis, breast or ovarian cancer. A group of US scientists at the Oregon Health and Science University have published a report where CRISPR has been used to correct a genetic mutation linked to a heart disorder called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy in human embryos. This is understandably has a huge range of implications, raises a number of questions of ethics and law. I spoke earlier with Dr. Jenny Snelling, Research Fellow in Bioethics and Health Law at the University of Otago, on these potential implications and just whether this kind of procedure would succeed or at all be possible in New Zealand. So after speculation last week, US scientists have published a study in which they used CRISPR to edit human embryos, removing a mutation linked to a heritable heart condition. I was hoping you could just tell me a little bit, start off, just tell me a bit about what CRISPR is and its implications.
So what the study showed was that scientists could create a guide, basically, that would identify a particular mutation and introduce the material that would basically cut out that mutation, and that allows the embryo to self-correct. So it effectively targeted a mutation, got rid of it, and allowed the embryo to self-correct, which meant that that mutation was no longer going to affect the future development of that prospective embryo.
How did the procedure work? I mean, can it be applied to other similar diseases?
Yes. So the particular mutation that these scientists targeted was one that predisposes to a condition that affects the heart. But there are over 10,000 single gene disorders that we know of. And theoretically, any of those single gene disorders could be targeted by a similar approach. But we certainly don't have proof that this study would actually be replicated all the time, because there's a variation in way conditions are inherited. And that may play a part as well.
So are there any health risks involved with this?
Definitely. So this study, we need to emphasise, was not a clinical study. It was very much basic research out of a clinical lab, so in a research lab. And the concerns around this technology has always been the problems of safety. So we could have some cells take up the edit, but other cells not, which would mean that that could cause health effects. The other problem is if there are off-target effects, where there's actually changes made to other areas of the genome that aren't intended, that could actually create a new disease effectively or have no effect. But the problem with this is that it actually changes the germline, so any change is potentially inheritable. So it actually would introduce a new change into the gene pool.
So that's
the biggest safety issue, are those risks.
So is there going to be more research taken on this in order to prevent this sort of thing from happening?
Yes, and I think what this study showed was that those two major safety risks were able to be reduced significantly. So I think that's the significant thing about the study, was that prior studies had shown that this technology was very unsafe. This study has shown that some of those safety risks were significantly ameliorated. So it gives researchers tools to explore further how those safety risks can be managed and eliminated. Although we need to be sure that all those risks would always be eliminated.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, this gene editing surely has ethical and legal implications. I mean, is this currently legal in New Zealand?
So what we need to sort of distinguish between is research that's basic, non-clinical research, and research that's clinical. So in this study, none of those embryos were ever destined to be implanted into a woman. And in New Zealand, we have a legal prohibition against implanting any embryo into a woman that's been modified. So this could never actually be used to conceive a pregnancy. We also have laws in New Zealand governing research on embryos and laws governing genetic modification. So we have restrictions around this particular type of research already. The research that they did in this study involved actually creating an embryo, and at the moment our guidelines wouldn't extend, in the way I interpret them, to allowing research to create embryos for research purposes.
Is there a possibility for these laws to be overturned if it's proved to be successful with no risk?
There's always a possibility that we will revisit laws. There's been some calls to revisit our current embryo research laws before CRISPR evolved, simply because some people are happy to donate the embryos to research if they're no longer going to be used. They may think that might be a better use of those embryos than actually just discarding them. So there have been calls to actually already for the government to review the guidelines we currently have.
So you said the issues being raised on gene editing currently being considered by a multidisciplinary panel established by the Royal Society Te Aparangi. What are they covering in that?
They're covering different aspects of gene editing, so they're looking at it as well in the agricultural sector, but they do have a group that are looking at it, gene editing in humans, the potential for that.
Is it likely that was this proven New Zealand would look to overturn these laws?
It's very, very early days in the research cycle of CRISPR. If we were to review the laws, it would be because we wanted to enable certain research as well as CRISPR to be performed. But to actually allow human genetic modification or implant embryos, I think there would need to be significant discussion in New Zealand. Years ago, we had a Royal Commission of Inquiry when genetic modification was first mooted in the agricultural sector. Science has moved on since then, and some scientists would say that this technology is quite different and we need to review that. But I think it would need another type of publicly informed and robust debate.
So around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.